Anybody enjoying the heat yet? Anybody enjoying the heat? Everybody likes, so many people like, some of you guys like the heat, huh? Well, today, I want to say a couple things. First of all, thank you guys for showing up at Sandy Carpenter's benefit team opening yesterday. I think they raised $18,000 for Sandy Carpenter. And I want to thank Louie and Betty and all those that were in charge of that and helped put that on. You guys did an awesome job, and we appreciate you guys doing that. I know Sandy does too. Sandy, if you didn't know, she has lung cancer, and so they're going to be fighting the battle for a while. So we just want to lift them up in our prayers and thank God for friends. Amen? Thank God for good friends. Well, I have kids. If you didn't know, I have kids. And my kids are getting older as well. I know, they're still young, but they grow up fast, don't they? For those of you that have kids or have kids or whatever, and they're all old now, they grow up fast. My son actually has learned a new trick. Hampton, you know, he's almost two, he'll be two in June. He learned a new trick. That's what it is. He can crawl out of his baby bed. I watched him. I slept in the bed yesterday. I had the kids yesterday. My wife went to a graduation, and I had the kids, and I stuck him in bed, and I watched him through the crack of the door, and he's got the technique down. I mean, seriously. First, he throws his blanket on the ground, so in case he falls, he'll land on his blanket, right? And that's smart, right? And then he just kind of creeps one little chubby turkey leg over, you know, over the side, and then he kind of just lets go, and he's like hanging, you know, like this, and then he just kind of lets go, and then he falls. And then he opens the door, and I'm standing right there. And then he looks at me like, I love you, Daddy, I love you. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Where's the handcuffs? Anybody got any hobbles? Something. I mean, you're hobbling. If you show up at my house and my kids hobble, just don't pay attention. We're training our kids. It's not discipline, it's training. That's pretty funny. I didn't have that written down. But, yeah, it's really a new technique, and we're excited about that because he's going to be up all night. I want to continue a series that we started last week, and I want to kind of catch you up. Last week, we opened up a little mini-series, as I want to call it, called Lessons Learned from Jake Spoon and Judas Iscariot. Remember who Jake Spoon was? Anybody remember what we talked about last week? Anybody seen Lonesome Dove? Can I get a witness? Did the sales at Walmart go up since last week? Because everybody went out and bought Lonesome Dove? Actually, the TV version is a lot better. There's a few words in there you don't want to listen to, and you don't want your kids listening to. But we started a kind of a mini-series based on Lonesome Dove. The TV series that came out in 1989, if you've never heard of Lonesome Dove, you're missing out. In Lonesome Dove, there were some great characters. You had Captain Woodrow Paul, you had Gus, you had Deech, you had Pete, you had all these great characters. But there's one character that you can learn from and that I wanted to touch on when we started this last week, and his name is Jake Spoon. Jake Spoon, remember that guy? Robert Herrick? He is one of those guys that you want to cry for because of what happens to him, but you also want to see him go and be, you know, pay for what he did. Jake, his character was a former Texas Ranger, actually, and he showed up in Lonesome Dove after 10 years of being gone, and he showed up actually a fugitive. Remember that? He showed up a fugitive because he had accidentally shot the dentist whose brother was the mayor and the sheriff. Or was that right? Yeah, he shot the dentist. And his brother was the mayor, and happened to be the sheriff as well. And so the sheriff chases after Jake Spoon. He comes after him. Remember July Johnson? That was the sheriff's name. Well, anyways, so here you got Jake Spoon. He's on the run. He's a fugitive. And he comes to Woodrow, and he comes to Gus, and he says, hey, you guys ought to take the cattle and start a ranch in Montana, right? And that starts the whole story of the Lonesome Dove. But here's the thing that Jake did. Jake did not commit to go on the drive with Gus and Woodrow. What did he do? He says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be lazy. I'm going to be self-seeking. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to sleep with a prostitute. Remember Lori? I'm going to do this. And then actually, he ends up not committing to go on the cattle drive. He commits to go with Lori to San Francisco, or commits to go somewhere with her, but ends up ditching her as well to go gambling. And so, again, and later on in the movie, Jay comes back in, and guess what he's done? He's joined a gang of horse thieves. Well, the baddest gang in the whole movie. If you're not creeped out by Dan in that movie, you're just weird. Because Dan was one of the most evil characters, and he was the head leader of the horse thieves. Remember Dan? Well, Jay joins up with this group of horse thieves, and they're cold-blooded killers. Remember? They go up to, and they find me this guy that had these horses. They're pulling all these horses along. They shoot all those horse owners, and they take all the horses. And then they shoot the sodbusters. Remember those? Guys that were farming out there. Dan goes out and shoots them in cold blood. But here's the thing. Gus and Woodrow caught up with the, actually he found the murdered victims. And when he finds the murdered victims, guess what they decide to do? They decide to hunt those killers down and hang them. Well, what they didn't really know until Dietz actually, noticed that Jake's horse was along with them, that Jake was with the horse thieves. And so when they find Jake and they find the horse thieves, they're going to hang him. Why? Why are they going to hang him? Well, here's the truth. Jake crossed the line. Jake knew the law. He knew what was right. He knew that he should have been honest. He was a ranger. He stood for honesty, but he crossed the line. He betrayed the code of the Rangers, and the Rangers stood for truth and honesty and fairness, and he betrayed the captain and Gus, and he was led astray, and it led to his death. Remember how he died? He's on his horse, they've got a noose around his neck, and Gus has gone along through there and killed Dan and all the other thieves, and he gets to Jake's horse, and before Gus can scare Jake's horse so that Jake gets home, what does Jake do? He spurs his own horse and commits suicide. He died a traitor, and he betrayed what he knew was right. Well, in the Bible, there's another character that actually betrayed Jesus as well. I mean, he had good friends. He walked amongst Jesus. He was taught what was right, but he chose to betray rather than believe. See, all the other disciples believed in Christ, but Judas didn't. And he chose to betray him. And the facts about Judas, and I'll just run through these real quick, he was one of the chosen 12. I mean, there was 12 disciples, and Jesus didn't just, find him out of happenstance. He chose Judas. I don't know if that gets you, but he chose Judas along with the others. He was the only one that wasn't from Galilee. He also kept the money back. Remember that? He kept the money for all the disciples, and he actually, in John chapter 12, it tells us that he was a thief of Jesus' money. And so, again, that proves his character. Well, I want to start again by reading the story of Judas for you real quick. In Matthew chapter 26, if you have your Bible, you can turn there real quick. Matthew 26. We're going to start in verses 14, and we're going to skip around. All along as I read it, it says this. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 14, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? He's talking about Jesus. So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And then skip down to verse 20. They're having the Lord's Supper, all the disciples together, and they're having the Last Supper with Jesus. And listen to what he says in verse 20. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while he was eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. And they were very sad and began to say to him, one after another, surely not I, Lord, surely not I. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. And Jesus answered, yes, It is you. And then skip down to verse 47, and we'll wrap this story up. Verses 47 through 56. It says, while they were speaking, Judas, one of the twelve, arrived, and actually, let me set this up. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has been praying. Three of the disciples are with him, and he's in the garden, and he's fixing to be arrested. And listen to what it says in verse 47. And while he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him, a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword. Remember who it was? Peter. Peter reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. By the way, I don't think Peter, and I might have said this last week, I don't think Peter was aiming for his ear. Do you? I think he was aiming for his neck, because he wanted to cut his neck off, or he wanted to cut his head off. Look at verse 52. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, who will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this is all taking place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Now skip to chapter 27 over a few verses. Chapter 27, starting in verse 3. It says, "When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. He said, 'I have sinned,' he said, 'for I have betrayed innocent blood.' 'What is that to us?' they replied. 'That's your responsibility.' So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. Well, if you were here last week, we opened up this series and we talked about lessons learned from Jake and Judas. And the first lesson, I want to recap this real quick and then we'll move on. But the first lesson that we learned was Jake and Judas had a choice. They had a choice. I mean, Jake, he could have gone on the cow drive with Gus and Woodrow, but he decided to stick around and be lazy because he was selfish and he had an evil heart. The same was with Judas. Judas could have followed Jesus. He could have given his life to Jesus, but he chose not to. He chose to betray Jesus. And the point that we made last week is we all have a choice, don't we? Don't we? We all have a choice. We can make the choice to choose and believe in Christ, or we can choose to reject him. We can choose, once we've come to know him, to honor him, or we can choose to betray him by disobeying. And so we've all got a choice. The second thing that we learned, the second lesson that we learned from Jake and Judas was this. Let me say it this way. Both Jake and Judas were fakers. They were fakers. Some people would say, Judas, he probably just lost his salvation. You can't lose your salvation, but you can fake it. You can fake it. And he said, I don't know if I'm faking it. If you act one way in public and you act another way in private, you're probably faking. That's what Jake did. I mean, Jake was charming, right? I mean, he had a way with the women. He was charming. Everybody kind of liked him. They really didn't know him. But he ended up betraying Jesus because he was a faker. And Judas was the same way. Judas, he walked with the 12. People probably looked at him and he's one of the disciples. Because in public, I mean, he looked like an associate pastor of Jesus Christ. But what was he privately? He was a thief, and he was a traitor. And so, again, both Jake and Judas had a choice, and they were both fakers. Well, today I want to continue this mini-series of lessons learned by Jake and Judas. I want us to pray together, ask God to speak to our hearts today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for even the stories in the Bible that aren't as encouraging. The stories of betrayal, the stories of death. But Lord, I thank you for those because I know that we can learn something from the mistakes of others. And we don't have to do it ourselves. And so Lord, I pray that you would teach us these lessons today so that we can live a life that honors you. And may you be glorified and may you speak to our hearts today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. I want to say something before I get to the couple lessons that I want to teach on today. Can I just throw this out? This is one of those points that is interesting to me. And I'll just say it this way. Judas wasn't the only one who betrayed Jesus. He wasn't the only one. And I want to point that out because all the disciples betrayed Jesus. Did you hear that in verse 23? It may be up on the screen. Jesus replied in verse 23, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." Guess what? It was a custom back in the day that they would take certain food and that they would dip it into the fluid or whatever it was, they would dip it into it and they would eat what they had on their table. Now guess what? All the disciples had dipped their food. Not just Judas. All of them. I mean, Jesus had dipped his food in there. And so it was a custom for them to do that. And later on, in verse 56 that we just read, it says that all the disciples, Jesus has been arrested, and it says in verse 56, then all the disciples deserted him and fled. They all deserted him and fled. And some of you, here's my point. We've all sinned. We've all sinned. Some of you guys may be here today, and you may be thinking, well, I'm better than that person. No, you're not. We're all in the same boat. We've all sinned. Don't you ever say, how could Judas be such a horrible person? How could he do such a horrible thing? As Tim Rob put it, none of us are angels. We've all danced with the devil. And so here's my point, and I want to get this out to all you Christians, because I am one too, and I'm thinking on myself. Don't be some pompous, goody-two-goo Christian that thinks that you're not a sinner and that you're better than anybody else. Your doo-doo stinks too. Some of y'all, you just got that. Some of you guys think you're so good that your poop stinks like potpourri. It doesn't. Listen, the truth is we've all sinned. Just because we're picking on Jesus in this sermon or this mini-series doesn't mean that we've all not fallen short. We've all fallen short. The preacher's fallen short. All the elders have fallen short. Even the drummer has fallen short. The drummer. I always got to pick on Toby, right? You bet. Listen, we've all fallen short, but hopefully today we will learn that who we are, who we were, and who we gotta be. Amen? Who we were and who we gotta be. So here's the third lesson. You ready for this? The third lesson is this. Jake and Judas put themselves in a position to be used by the devil. They put themselves in that position. Did you get that? Jake chose to run with the thieves. The thieves didn't make him. I mean, we really don't know. I mean, he was a character in a movie. But we really don't know. But he decided on his own free will, I'm presuming, that he decided on his own free will to hang out with the bad guys. It wasn't like they forced him to be in their gang. And by being with the thieves, he put himself in a position to be influenced by them. And, listen, because of that, he even falls into the consequences of their evil. Listen, if Jake would have just stayed with Gus and Woodrow, he might not have gotten into so much trouble. And he might have been alive at the end of the movie. Listen, Judas was the same way. Judas put himself in that position. Look at verse 14 through 16 again. It says, the one of the 12, the one called Judas, what? Went to the chief priest and asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they counted out 30 coins, and from then on, Judas looked for an opportunity to hand him over. Listen, Judas, it wasn't like they knew that Judas was the bad disciple and they went to him. They were like, dude, he's going to betray. This guy's got the betraying in him. I'm going to go to him and ask him to betray Jesus. No, what did Judas do? Judas went to the high priest. And he said, how can I help you betray and kill Jesus? And he said, well, how? How did he get himself in this position? Here's a couple things that I want to point out. He allowed the devil to rule his life. Remember that last week? He allowed the devil to enter his life. Luke chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. It says, then Satan entered Judas. You know how Satan entered Judas? Because he wasn't a true believer. Remember that? We talked about it last week. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living in your life. Therefore, there is no room for a demon or for Satan to possess you. But here's the other truth of that. We cannot be possessed by a demon, but we can be influenced by a demon. But listen, Judas was possessed by Satan. And you say, well, how did he get himself in that position? He allowed Satan to reign in his life rather than believing in Jesus Christ. And the second way that he allowed that to happen was he put himself in that position. He went to them, as I've already said. Judas pursued them. And you say, well, why? Why would Judas want to betray Jesus? Why would he want to give him up? Now, here's a reason, and again, this is just maybe one of the reasons, but I believe this reason. I believe that Judas gave Jesus up and wanted to betray him because Judas felt like Jesus had betrayed Judas. Let me explain that. I believe that Judas wanted to betray Jesus because Judas felt like Jesus had betrayed him. Now, let me explain that. Here, listen, let me explain it this way. All the Jews and all the disciples, guess what they wanted out of a Messiah? They wanted a general of the army. When they looked for the Messiah to come, they wanted a general that's going to militarily conquer Egypt, who has persecuted them for many, many years. And so when Jesus shows up, guess what? He's not that person that's going to conquer militarily as a general and destroy the enemy. You know what he's going to do? He's going to die. Now listen, all the disciples, all of them wanted a general. They wanted someone to conquer, to overcome. And guess what Jesus says? I'm going to die. So here's Judas. Judas is saying, well, I can't ride on the coattails of Jesus. I can't be the greatest in your kingdom. That means Jesus is going to die. Therefore, Jesus has betrayed me. Therefore, I'm going to betray him. The other reason that he may have betrayed him was he was greedy for money. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of money. And money can get you, it can get me into trouble, and it got Judas possibly into trouble. Here's the truth about Judas. If you would have just realized that one day Jesus is going to return, and if you would have just believed in Jesus, guess what? Jesus is going to return, and he is going to be the king that conquers the world. Can I get an amen on that? Can I get an amen? Four bucks. Come on, man. I mean, seriously, this is a good thing. The only promise that Jesus hasn't fulfilled is his return. But guess what? One of these days, he's going to fulfill it. And Jesus is going to go, dang it, I should have waited. Because Jesus is going to be the ruler of this world. And he's going to defeat every evil force. And so, maybe those are the reasons. Here's the personal application. Listen, we must not put ourselves in a position to be influenced by evil. You can't do it. Listen to Psalm 34:14. It says this, turn from evil and do what? Good. Seek peace and what? Pursue it. Listen, are running from God because you feel like he didn't pull through and he's betrayed you. My wife left. This happened, or that happened, or this person died, and you feel like God let you down. Listen, it's okay to feel that way. I felt that way in my life, but listen, God will never let you down if you stick with him. He has never let me down, even though I've experienced death in my family, even though I've experienced loss in my family. He has never let me down. But some of you are here today, and you're going, I'm going to show him. He betrayed me. He let me down. I'm going to show him. And you're seeking out bad stuff. You're dating that boy who's bad. You're dating that girl who's bad. You're going on those places or those places that are bad. Because you've got to show Jesus that if he's going to do that to you, I'm going to do that to him. And you're putting yourself in a position to be influenced by evil. But can I just say this to you? You're being led astray. The road that you've chosen, the road that you think that you're going to show somebody, it's going to lead you astray. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says this, Paul's talking, he says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. And I say this to your shame. You see what he's saying? He's saying, don't pursue the bad stuff. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts a good heart. And so by you going, I'm going to show Jesus, I'm going to show my parents, I'm going to do all this stuff, I'm going to be the bad boy or the bad girl, listen, you're being led astray. It's going to corrupt you, and it's going to lead to your destruction. And can I just throw this out? At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we are called to reach unchurched people. And when we do this, listen to this, this is important. When we do this, we become susceptible to being influenced by evil. Now let me clarify what I'm saying here. When I go and I drag calves with somebody that doesn't know Jesus and they're cussing and using the F word and they're saying son of a, you know, whatever, and they're using all this stuff and they're doing all this stuff, listen, guess what? I can be influenced by them. You know what? That can rub off on me. When they lack, you know, maybe compassion, when someone gets stomped or kicked and they don't help them up, guess what? I can be influenced by that. And I become insensitive to someone's hurt. Now let me use an example here. How many of you guys have ever heard of the phrase, you lie with the dogs, you get up with fleas? Well, there's a thing that my wife actually brought just yesterday or the day before yesterday called Frontline. Anybody ever heard of Frontline that you put on your dogs? Yeah, it's great stuff. It's expensive, but it's great stuff. When you get this Frontline stuff, it comes in a little tube, and you break it over, and then you pull the hair back, you get it up next to the skin, and you squirt this little stuff on the skin, and it keeps the fleas off of the dog. Remember that? I mean, you guys maybe that have ever used that? That's called flea repellent. Well, spiritually speaking, guess what? The Word of God, the prayer, godly friends, being in church are all repellents of the fleas of sin. And he said, well, how do I keep the fleas off? I go into that world every day. I walk into my job every day, and there's sin in that place, and they're telling the jokes, and they're doing all these things. How do I keep the sin off, the fleas of sin? How do I keep them off? How do you keep them off? It's all right here. The more that I can get this close to my skin, the more that it penetrates my heart, the more that it gets into my mind, the more that I can repel the sin that approaches me every time I go out into the world. But here's the truth, and here's where the church gets it wrong. We don't ever go into the world because we're afraid that it might influence us. And guess what? People are dying and going to hell because we're afraid. Listen, the Bible teaches us that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And if you're not a Christian that wants to be in the world, then you're in the wrong church. Go to some other church and they will feed you all you want, They will pacify you all you want, and they will never ask you to leave the doors and go out and pursue the world. But guess what? At a Thousand Hills, we're going to do that. And we're going to be susceptible to sin, but that's why we got to come to church. And that's why we got to be in the Word of God. And so again, maybe that's you. Maybe you're in a position and you're being misled and you're allowing that bad company to corrupt you. Listen to Psalm 90:10, and it says this: "Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked." You know what that's saying there? Hate the evil, love the sinner. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Some of you guys have gotten to a point to where you love the sin. Instead of hating the sin, you love the sin. And I just say, I'm not above that. And you aren't either. Remember? You're doo doo sticks too. But we are to hate the sin and love the sinner. That means when that joke is told, maybe you don't laugh. Maybe you don't tell the next joke. And you hate it. You know what my prayer is for you? And this may sound weird, that your sin makes you sick. One of the true signs that we are believers in Jesus Christ is our sin makes us sick. It makes us want to puke. It makes us feel, you know, again, like we know that we've done something that is detestable. And I hope that you taste that. I hope that when the sin happens in your life, you taste that detestable, filthy, nasty part of it being sin. And you say, well, thanks a lot. You can thank me later. you can pray that for me, too. I need that. So, again, be prepared. Don't get yourself in a position like Jake and Judas. And then here's the last lesson for today. Jake and Judas's sin, listen, led to remorse rather than repentance. Jake and Judas' sin led to only remorse rather than repentance. Listen, Jake only shows remorse. I mean, when he gets caught, when Gus and them catch up with him, he shows remorse. He says, no, I didn't really know. I'm sorry. I'm a good guy. You don't have to bind me up. I'm a good guy. No, he only showed remorse. But here's what he could have done. He could have gone to the sheriff. And he could have repented of his sin and told the sheriff, hey, sheriff, I did something wrong because I was with him and I'm turning myself in. He may have still been wrong, but at least it was due to the justice and the repentance of his life. It's the same way with Judas. Judas only shows remorse. Look at Matthew 27:3-5. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with what? Remorse. And returned the 30 coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. And what did they say? The jerks, the Pharisees, the religious pricks, they said this: what is that to us? That's your responsibility. See, Judas took the money back and he showed remorse, but there was never a sign of repentance. There was never a sign of turning from his sin and turning to God. And you say, well, what does repentance mean? And I love to explain this because this is revolutionary. And again, I explain it like a horse. When I ride a horse and I'm loping along or cantering along, and then I stop and I perform what they call a rollback, that means I turn 180 degrees on my horse, hopefully in the same line, and then I take off in the same line that I rode up the other way. You know what that is? That's a rollback. In our lives, when we're running towards sin and we're doing the things that we ought to do, we need to stop and we need to turn and we need to turn and face and repent and turn and face God. The rollback of repentance. That was never the case for Judas. But there was another disciple. Remember the other disciple that betrayed Jesus three times right before the rooster crowed? What was his name? Huh? Peter. Remember? Peter was a great disciple too. And he actually did believe, but he denied Jesus three times and then the rooster crows. You can read about it in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But here's the truth about Peter. Peter did it right. Did he show remorse? Did he mourn for his sin? Did it make him sick? Yes, it did. But it also turned him back to Jesus. When Peter realized that Jesus had been crucified and had died, but then he had rose from the dead, that's what Peter did. He ran to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. And guess what? Jesus made him one of the greatest leaders in the church. Because why? Because he repented. He didn't just feel remorse. He repented. And he turned from his sin. Now, here's the personal application. Some of you cry over your sin. Some of you feel bad because you may be facing some consequences of your sin. But you never repent. I mean, you're like, man, I'm so sorry. And maybe you come to me and you ask me for prayer, but then you go right back into your sin. Maybe you feel bad and it makes you feel better to talk to me, and that's fine. I want to be able to pray for you, but here's the deal. You have to repent. It's not enough just to sit there and cry over your sin. Do we need to? Yes. But we have to ask for forgiveness. We have to turn from our sin, and we have to turn toward Christ. Listen, a lot of people, they never ask for forgiveness. They never turn to God. And guess what? It leads to depression. It leads to stress. It leads to despair. And sometimes it even leads to what Jake and Judas did, which is suicide. It's not enough to feel bad about our sin. We have to repent. Jake and Judas didn't. They didn't repent, but Peter did. And guess what? We must too. We have to. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Here's the question. Are you putting yourself in a position to be influenced by evil? Are you choosing to hang around certain people too much? And they're influencing you to do evil. Are you going places that you know you shouldn't go? Because those places lead you to sin. Listen, we're not going to be perfect, but the more that we can take that influence out of our lives, the less we're going to sin. And so some of you may be here today, and you may be thinking, you know what, God, God's betrayed me, I'm going to betray him, I'm going to live my life. I got some wild living to live, and I'm going to live it. Listen, don't be led astray. Don't think that you're hurting anybody, you're only hurting yourself. And you say, well, can Christ accept me again, even though I've taken this path? I've even chosen this path. I've even done some things wrong. I've done all kinds of stuff that I know I shouldn't do. Can Christ forgive me of my sin? And the answer is absolutely. And you say, well, how do you know? How do you know? You don't even know my sin. How do I know? Because he's forgiven me of my sin. And I can tell you from personal experience that he's a merciful God. So don't be misled. Don't choose that wrong path just to get back at your parents. Don't choose that wrong path because, you know, God has supposedly betrayed you. And you're going to show him. Turn back. Some of you guys know that you're living in sin, and all you've shown is remorse. Just like Jake, just like Judas. You show the remorse, you cry over it at night, you tell your friends to maybe pray for you, and you show the remorse, but you never turn from your sin. And I just encourage you today, turn to Christ. Repent. It's the only way to get to true life. It's the only way to have an abundant life on this earth. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ. You've never repented of your sin for the first time. You've never asked Him to forgive you. You've never asked Him to come into your heart. Listen, you need to confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life today and place your trust in Him for the first time. You need to accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior and allow Him to start cleansing you of your sin. And so maybe that's you today. And you've never given your life. You never believed in Jesus Christ. And you never trusted in Him. I want to encourage you to do that today. You say, well, how do I do that? Again, we don't ask people to come to the front. We don't make a big scene. We tear down religious barriers here that keep you from wanting to come to Christ. All we ask you to do, go fill out one of those orange sheets, say, I want to know more about Christ, and we will contact you. And we will explain to you, through the Word of God, how you can come to know Christ personally. Don't wait. Don't wait. We're not promised another day. Maybe some of you, again, you're Christians, but you've only shown remorse. Turn from your sin and run back to Jesus. Lord, I thank you again for the examples that you've given us in the Bible. The examples of maybe the bad stuff. Not just the good stuff. Not just how we should live, but how we should not live. And so, while it hurts my heart to see what Judas did, I thank you for the example that you've given us so that we can learn from his mistake and not be led astray. And Lord, I thank you for each person that's in this barn. And Lord, I pray for those that are living the life. They're living the life that you called them to live. And I pray that they would not just live that life amongst their kids, that they would not just live that life amongst their church, but that they would live that life in the world. And that they would be in the world, walking amongst the other dogs that have got fleas. But may they be prepared. And may they pour that word over their lives that repels the sin. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us not to get comfortable in this church, but help us to pursue the lost so that they can find a Savior. Lord, we thank you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.